Chapter 7. Violet's Hero. In spite of all the chaos surrounding the Alamo Center terrorist attack, Violet made it home before midnight, her sanctuary, a second-floor apartment located on the outskirts of San Antonio. As she walked from her car, the air was quiet and still, and the walkway was illuminated by soft landscape lighting. The familiar scent of jasmine from the neighboring building greeted her, a small comfort that seemed extra reassuring this evening. She had escaped all the mayhem from earlier, and she had made her way home, seemingly, just like any other calm, quiet evening. Violet fumbled her key slightly in the lock, a nightly ritual that never quite lost its edge when living alone. Stepping inside, she sighed with relief, the warm glow of her lamp dispelling the shadows, and welcomed her back into her solitary sanctuary. After turning on another light, she walked slowly across the room. Her eyes were fixated on the wall, a wall filled with shelves, photos, and memorabilia. In the center was a large photo in an ornate frame, commanding the attention on the wall. It was a photo of Violet, on her wedding day with her husband. Their faces beamed with happiness, their eyes sparkled with the joy of their new union, and the intense love between them. Violet's natural beauty was accentuated by her flowing white gown. The groom stood tall and handsome, like a pillar of strength beside her. It must have been a perfect day. The wedding photo occupied a central place of honor, surrounded by a gallery of memories. Some captured Violet and her husband together, while others showcased her husband solo. Notably, in more than half the pictures, both of them sported Air Force uniforms, a testament to their shared service in the United States Air Force. Apparently, Violet had not always lived alone. 4 years ago, the Texas sun seemed to shine just a little brighter for Violet. It was at Joint Base San Antonio, amidst the camaraderie of fellow airmen, that her story with John Wheeler began. They were both young, with laughter as bright as their love, and with hope for a future together. Between rigorous training schedules and late-night maneuvers, they carved out moments of stolen joy. Weekends were spent exploring the vibrant tapestry of San Antonio. From the majestic river walk to the historic Alamo, San Antonio was a magical place for fun and romance. Violet, raised since a child beneath the gentle spires of a Baptist church, found a kindred spirit in John, whose observant Jewish upbringing mirrored her own deep sense of integrity. Their differences, like the spices in a well-loved stew, deepened the flavor of their connection. Romance blossomed amidst shared meals, whispered secrets under starry Texas skies, and adventures that stretched beyond city limits. They hiked the rugged beauty of Big Bend National Park, marveled at the otherworldly formations of Carlsbad Caverns, and even tried their hand at two-stepping in a honky-tonk bar in Austin. They had so much in common, and Violet believed she had finally found the love of her life. Everything seemed so perfect. But the rhythm of their hearts would soon be interrupted. Eventually, new orders came down, a cruel twist of fate in the world of the military and love. John was bound for a deployment in Afghanistan, while Violet's assignment would send her across the Atlantic to Germany. The prospect of a long-distance relationship threatened to compromise their happiness. Both Violet and John recognized that their love and future together was at risk. Facing the uncertainty of separation, a decision was made. They would tie the knot and get married. Their love would be a bridge spanning the continents, as well as the internet. Also, they understood that as a married couple, they could eventually be stationed together again, so their time apart would be short-lived. Their wedding plans unfolded with a joyous collaboration of faiths. Violet, with her pastor's blessing, incorporated elements of her Christian faith. John's family, steeped in tradition, shared the warmth of Jewish customs. The ceremony would be a beautiful symphony of their beliefs that would resonate with everyone present. The wedding and reception buzzed with a vibrant energy, held within a single beautifully decorated expansive hall. The space teemed with family and friends, some who had journeyed across state lines, others stationed nearby, all gathered to witness this momentous union. John's fellow airmen, a distinguished crew from various squadrons, formed a supportive band of brothers, a testament to the camaraderie they shared. On one end of the hall, showcased an elegant raised pavilion, adorned with a cascade of colorful flowers. Rows of neatly arranged chairs formed an aisle, ensuring everyone a clear view of the bridal procession. Round dining tables, prepped for the reception feast, filled the remaining expanse of the hall, each one boasting a beautiful touch of decorative flair. As the guests assembled, a sense of familiarity and reunion filled the air. Many seemed to recognize each other, their greetings and conversations weaving a tapestry of anticipation, while they awaited the ceremony's start. Finally, the pastor assumed his position within the adorned pavilion, and the first sounds of wedding music filled the room. The ceremony had begun. The festive chatter quieted as the guests found their seats. John, alongside his best man as loyal support, entered the hall from a side entrance, and they took their places at the base of the pavilion. Then, with a measured pace, the bridal party made their entrance. The maid of honor and three bridesmaids, each adorned in their finery and matching dresses, walked slowly arm in arm with groomsmen down the aisle. The bridal party assumed their positions, flanking the pavilion. With all eyes fixed on the decorated archway entrance, a collective anticipation was building for the bride's grand entrance. Finally, it was the moment of a lifetime. As the opening notes of the bridal march filled the air, the crowd rose to their feet, a collective gasp escaping their lips, as Violet emerged within the doorway. Heads turned, smiles bloomed, and a reverent silence descended. Violet, a vision in her flowing white gown, captivated the room with her elegance and beauty. Unaccustomed to seeing her outside her Air Force uniform, the assembled guests were struck by her transformation. Violet's beauty and radiance was breathtaking. She was the embodiment of a bride's dream, a picture of perfection as she walked unescorted down the aisle. Her eyes were enchanting and dreamy, her smile was captivating and its warmth spellbinding. Her pristine white flowing gown was amazing. It was the perfect dress in every way. John, with the biggest grin imaginable, watched her approach, mesmerized by her beauty. In that moment, she wasn't just beautiful, she was the most exquisite bride he'd ever seen, and she was about to become his bride. A surge of pride and joy washed over him, a silent self-declaration that he was the luckiest man alive. John's gaze briefly met his best man and groomsmen, his smile widening even further as if to say, "Look at my bride, guys. It doesn't get any better than this." As Violet slowly traversed the aisle, her eyes darted to and fro, acknowledging each guest with a heartfelt smile. This was the moment she'd dreamt of since childhood, and it was unfolding flawlessly. Happiness radiated from her, making this a memory she would forever cherish. It was everything she had ever hoped for. Reaching the pavilion, her eyes met John's. The sight of him, handsome and strong in his tuxedo, stole her breath away. Marrying someone like John had been a lifelong aspiration, and now, it was becoming a reality. With a tender smile, John extended his arm. Violet slipped hers into his, and together they ascended the short staircase into the pavilion, ready to embark on their journey as husband and wife. Weaving their traditions together, Violet and John planned a symbolic exchange of religious gifts during their wedding ceremony. To honor John's Jewish heritage, Violet would present him with a necklace adorned with a Star of David pendant. Likewise, reflecting Violet's Christian upbringing, John had a necklace with a Christian cross pendant for her. Both gifts came with heartfelt words. Violet, her eyes shining with love, turned to John after the maid of honor placed the necklace in her hand. "John," she began, her voice trembling slightly with emotion, "this necklace is made of titanium, strong and enduring. Just like you. Like my love for you, it will forever hold fast." With a gentle touch, she placed the necklace around his neck. John's gaze dropped to the pendant, a silent appreciation washing over his face. John's turn. His best man presented him with the necklace for Violet. As he lovingly gazed at his bride, a deep tenderness reflected from within John's eyes. "Violet," he said, with his voice warm and caring. "This necklace is crafted from gold, beautiful and radiant, just like you. It will forever symbolize our love, a love that will endure forever." He carefully fastened the clasp around her neck, gently navigating her cascading hair with ease, which spoke volumes of their comfortable intimacy. The exchange of rings and vows followed, culminating in the pastor's pronouncement that echoed through the hall, the most profound and wonderful words that Violet had ever heard. "I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride." As applause erupted, a wave of pure joy washed over Violet. Those simple words, "I now pronounce you husband and wife," held momentous meaning, a dream realized, a love solidified. Even amidst the cheers, these profound words resonated within her, a cherished memory that would forever be everlasting in her heart. The bittersweet reality of military life settled in a few weeks after their wedding. The joy of their union was eventually touched with their impending deployments. As ordered, John departed first, bound for the volatile landscape of Afghanistan. A week later, it was Violet's turn. Her assignment sent her to a new life in Germany. Their newly minted marriage, barely a month old, was about to face its first real test. But John and Violet were committed to get through this separation with strength. Their love, a flame ignited amidst shared adventures and mutual respect, burned brightly. They were determined to make the best of this forced separation. While the uncertainties of their schedules loomed large, they clung to the lifeline of technology. Skype and email became their virtual bridges, connecting them across great distance and time zones. They also understood the limitations. Missed calls on John's end due to the unpredictable nature of his deployment, unexpected changes in Violet's work hours. Yet, they faced these challenges with unwavering positivity. Each message received, each pixelated face on the screen, became a precious reminder of the love they shared. The distance only amplified their longing, their anticipation for the next online encounter, growing stronger with each passing day. Despite the challenges, their long-distance relationship thrived on a foundation of trust, constant communication, and the unwavering belief that they would soon be reunited. They were soldiers of love, fighting the battle of separation with unwavering determination, and the promise of a future, where they wouldn't have to say goodbye. One afternoon, an unexpected knock at the door shattered the afternoon quiet of Violet's apartment. Living on the second floor, she peered through the peephole to see an unexpected trio, a brigadier general, a sharply dressed female airman, and a chaplain in his military dress uniform. A knot of dread formed in her stomach. Having a general and chaplain at the door couldn't possibly spell good news. Taking a deep breath, Violet hesitantly opened the door. "Hello, can I help you?" she asked with a meek voice. The general, a man with a kind but firm expression, stepped forward and asked, "Mrs. Wheeler? Are you, Violet Marie Wheeler?" Violet swallowed, then nervously confessed, "Yes, that's me." The general asked, "May we come in? We need to talk." "Yes, sir," Violet mumbled, ushering them inside. As they settled onto the couch, her breath was shallow and her heartbeat quickened. Her mind flew to John, stationed in Afghanistan, a very dangerous conflict zone. A silent prayer escaped her lips, "Dear God, please." The general's face was etched with concern. "Mrs. Wheeler," he began gently, "there's no easy way to say this." In an instant, Violet's world collapsed, as if she had left reality while being stranded in Germany. Sensation drained from her fingertips, replaced by a cold numbness. She locked eyes with the general, her voice barely a whisper, "John, oh dear God. Please, not John." Shaking her head while the general continued to speak, she couldn't hear anything else. Sound and sight was just a blur. Her mind and ability to comprehend were completely stunned. On Violet's memory wall in her San Antonio apartment, a single dedicated shelf held a solitary treasure. A triangular wooden and glass case, its clean lines hinting at the precious object within, nestled amongst cherished photographs. Inside, a folded American flag lay in silent repose, its vibrant colors muted by a veil of glass. A brass plaque on the case's facade whispered a story of duty and sacrifice. It bore the inscription, "John Francis Wheeler, United States Air Force," followed by the stark dates that marked the beginning and end of his life. Similar to what happened to Dave, her husband John had been killed by a suicide bomber while trying to give aid to Afghan civilians. Violet knew all too well about grief and what it meant to have death unexpectedly take someone you love. She fell to her knees and cried out, "John, what am I going to do? I can't take this." Her gaze shot up at her wedding photo. "Tonight, I promised a guy I would pass his last hug on to his family. It was his dying wish. He hugged me, and then he died. What am I going to do?" After pausing for a moment, with a crying voice she continued, "You're the hero, not me. What would you do?" After several minutes of pondering her dilemma, it dawned on her, John wouldn't crumble. He'd see it through. John would find a way to get the job done, because that was the kind of guy he was. Whatever it took, he would not fail, she thought. Inspired by the memory of her husband's own determination, Violet answered herself. Okay, she whispered, I'll do it. I'll give it my best shot. To honor you, I will carry out this man's dying wish. Beside the flag case, laid a silent testament to their love, the titanium necklace Violet had placed around his neck, on their wedding day. Its pendant, a Star of David catching the soft light, held a thousand whispered promises, and a lifetime of shared future dreams. It was a tangible reminder of John's warmth, his gentle smile and touch, and the strength that had anchored her so soundly. Now, in the face of tonight's gut-wrenching grief at the Alamo Center, Violet craved that strength more than ever. With trembling fingers, she lifted the necklace, and then placed it on over her head. The weight of the chain was a grounding presence against her skin. Memories flooded back, the joy on his face, as she placed it on over his head at the wedding. The endurance of this necklace amplified the strength of John, her hero. He would never shy away from a promise made, and slowly, a fire of determination ignited within Violet. All these years later, Violet still wore her wedding ring, too heartbroken to set it aside. A reminder of her happiest day, the ring would soothe her when she felt down, like tonight, she needed it. She lovingly caressed the ring, as if it were a source for strength. Looking up at their wedding photo, the vibrant memories of their good times and adventures together, was a dramatic contrast to the hollowness she felt tonight. Violet spoke softly. John, she began, her voice thick with emotion, there's nothing I want more than to hug you one last time. You were, and always will be my hero. Violet rose to her feet. I know what you would do. You'd deliver that hug. You'd bridge the gap between love and loss, as best you could. Just like me, the way I felt when you had just died, his wife and children must be drowning in grief and sadness, wishing for one more touch, from their husband and father. With newfound resolve in her voice, she prayed to God. God, I need your help, I'll do it, but I need your strength. Please help me find a way to get this done, please. And I'm going to need a little luck too. With a loving touch, Violet reached out to their wedding photo. John, I promise, with her voice gaining strength. I'll do my best. For you, for them, and for the love of family that binds us all. With a final gesture of love and resolve, Violet pressed a kiss to the cool metal pendant, then she held it out towards the photo, a silent salute to the man who would forever be her guiding star. As the night progressed, all of Texas settled into a quiet slumber, preparing for the dawn of a new day. Life can be so magical, and full of wonderful days and adventures, which seem never-ending. Like a bird flying across the open sky, so high and vast, how wonderful it must be to soar through a realm that only flight provides. To the bird, the heavens must seem endless and forever. Then one day, the bird's life finishes. What seems so endless for the bird, has an end after all. People are no different. In our seemingly endless path through life, one might say that there is an expected time for all things, a time for school, a career, a time to get married and have children, and a time to someday die. Often without notice, sometimes a life's path can be abruptly cut off, with no chance for a conversation with friends and family, or to say goodbyes. When a life is snatched away in such an instant, those left behind are robbed, injured, and victims themselves. Our lives are so intertwined, the more friends and loved ones left behind, the more numerous the victims. For the victims left behind, there is no time to gradually rethink their own life path, no smooth transition. They become forced to confront a tragedy head-on, and hope they can make it through to the other side. Our humanity, and caring for each other, are intrinsic human assets we can lean on to find our way through a hardship. In various ways, victims will unite.